Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
It is game day all across Broncos country, from the south stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. The Denver Broncos prepare for battle this evening, Thursday Night Football, on the road against the New York Jets. This is your Locked On Broncos pregame show. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos and subscribe for daily access on your favorite podcast provider. Today's pregame show is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support, so let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, the Broncos getting ready to kick things off here this evening against the New York Jets in the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium. Thursday Night Football primetime action. A battle between two 0-3 teams, obviously looking to generate some momentum. For the Broncos, they got a tough schedule ahead of them, but they got to focus on tonight. So we're going to go through some of our pregame notes, some roster transactions, and also a little bit of a tale of the tape before we dive into our crossover Thursday interview with John Butchko, host of Locked On Jets, giving us all the details we need to know leading up to kickoff about this New York Jets team. He's going to ask me a bunch of questions as well for Jets fans about the Denver Broncos. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the action. Yesterday, the Broncos, look, you know, we all know that Jurrell Casey being placed on injured reserve kind of threw a wrench in the Broncos' plans. We posed some free agent options. Well, now the Broncos, they have some options on the table here, and they're going to be bringing in Timmy Jernigan. He signed yesterday. He is eligible to play tonight against the Jets because he played last Thursday for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was released. So because he was already on an NFL team, he was going through the protocols. He came in, he got his COVID test, it came back as negative. So he is eligible to play tonight if Vic Fangio and the Broncos need him to do just that. The Broncos will also be bringing in some other defensive linemen as well. Former Bronco Sylvester Williams and Darius Kilgo will be in for a workout tomorrow at the UC Health Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. So obviously some bodies, some help there for the Broncos on the defensive line as they prepare not only just for kickoff tonight, but also next week against the New England Patriots. They're going to need that as well. They also promoted Derek Tuska and Levante Bellamy to the active roster off of the practice squad. And on the injury status side of things, too, for the Broncos out of this matchup tonight, Broncos quarterback Drew Lock. We obviously knew he's not going to be ready for at least another 2 to 3 weeks, potentially. Some people have hinted that it could be next week against the Patriots. Some have hinted it's going to be the Miami Dolphins. I imagine it's going to be against Kansas City. He hasn't even resumed throwing yet, so not a surprise that Lock is out of action tonight. But a surprise on the injury report, Jeremiah Tauchu dealing with a quadricep injury. He is out for this Broncos football team. So I'd expect we might see the debut on defense for Derek Tuska. Obviously, Anthony Ciccolo is in the rotation as well. I wasn't too impressed with his performance last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Broncos going to have to roll with Malik Reed. They're going to have to roll with Bradley Chubb and Anthony Ciccolo and potentially Derek Tuska. I'd like to see what Tuska can do. Why not? I mean, he made a special teams tackle already. Let's see what he could do on the defensive side of the ball. Questionable for tonight's matchup, though, Philip Lindsay, Broncos running back. If he does go, he's leading up to be a game time decision. If he does in fact go, he will be on a pitch count. And Devontae Harris is questionable for tonight's action as well at Empower Field at Mile High. Quick injury report here for the New York Jets as well. Brashad Perryman has been ruled out, so that's one wide receiver down. Jamison Crowder is questionable for tonight's matchup at wide receiver. He's one of their other big play options. And Chris Hogan is also questionable as well with a knee injury. So all across the board, you know, this is a New York Jets team that is also banged up, considering Mekhi Becton, the rookie tackle as well. He is questionable. He may not play in this game. It's going to be interesting to see what that offensive line looks like for the New York Jets. So expect Shelby Harris, expect the Broncos to be aggressive because they're down at wide receiver weapons. And I think that Vic Fangio is going to try to make a statement in tonight's matchup against the New York Jets. But let's take a little quick look at the tail of the tape here, folks. This is a battle. When you look at the offensive side of the ball, it is a battle between two of the bottom ranked teams in the National Football League overall in general. The Broncos turnover margin is -3. That is good for tight for 24th in the National Football League. Their average time of possession is 28 minutes and 16 seconds. It's 25th in the NFL. But when you look at overall the offense, the Broncos right now enter this game as the 29th ranked offense at 289 yards per game. And also yards per play, they're 28th, 4.57 total yards per play. That's not a great formula. Granted, though, it is a small sample size 3 weeks into the season, but not a great start for this Broncos offense, especially taking a dip in the points per game category, 30th in the National Football League at 15 points per game on average. And you look at the New York Jets in terms of points per game, they are 32nd, dead last, 12.3. So they don't put up many points. So if the Broncos can keep this close, they can capitalize, come up with some defensive takeaways like the Indianapolis Colts defense forced last week against Sam Darnold and that Jets offense. Maybe you can convert on those, and the Broncos have a chance to put up some points in this game. They have the opportunity to do so. And also, when you look at rushing attacks, it's the 29th and 28th ranked rushing offenses here. Broncos 84.3 yards per game on the ground in comparison to the Jets, 88.3 on the ground as well. So obviously not a very strong running game and not a very strong passing game by either offenses as well, because Denver is 28th ranked passing offense yards per game. The Jets, they're dead last with Sam Darnold. That's a big surprise. He's only thrown for 562 yards in just three games. He's had some struggles. He's thrown a lot of interceptions. Last week was a three-interception game, and so right there, I mean, that just speaks volumes about where this, these offenses are at overall. The Broncos, 31st in the National Football League in sacks allowed. They've allowed 13 sacks through three games so far. That is not going to get it done there. 29th on third down, and then you look at the New York Jets. They are 31st on third down completion percentage at 32.4. So when you look at the Jets' third down percentage and you compare it to the Broncos' defense on third down percentage, Broncos have the favor there. They're the 11th ranked defense on third down, only allowing 38.6% of their conversions. They buckled down in the second half against Tampa Bay. Same thing as well. They're the 12th ranked defense in red zone percentage, so that's a great sign for the Broncos. The New York Jets, however, on the defense side of the ball for them, they are tied for 26th with 100% red zone completion percentage allowed for opposing teams so far through 3 weeks. And for Denver, they've got to find a way to get takeaways. They've got to find a way to get sacks. They're the 23rd and 26th team in terms of takeaways and sacks in the NFL. Only one interception on the season comes by Justin Simmons, 25th in the NFL for that. And they are the 29th ranked passing defense in the NFL right now, averaging 277 yards through the air. The Broncos have got to find a way to neutralize the big play. The Jets are down at the wide receiver position. You've got to come up, and you got to come up with some takeaways. And I think Michael Ojemudia, Bryce Callahan, and Saint Bassey, I think they're going to be in a good position to have some takeaways this week against Sam Darnold and this New York Jets offense. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get into our Crossover Thursday interview with John Butchko, host of the Locked On Jets podcast. But before we get into all that action, I got to tell you about the sponsors of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. That is NFL Game Pass and RockAuto.com. So with NFL Game Pass, you get football on your time. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays, and you get to see all the plays in just 45 minutes or less with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, all the crazy catches, the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every game, every single week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place that you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes, where you get to go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. You get to learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And our good friends over there at RockAuto.com, when you need quality parts for your vehicle, anytime something goes wrong, you want to even build up on something, whether it's for your new or classic driver, RockAuto.com has everything that you need. Because RockAuto.com is a family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and those who are do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. You can access it from computers at your house or from your phone. And the RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle based on make, model, year, brands, specifications, and even the prices that you prefer. That's why I rock with rockauto.com. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On Broncos in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Thursday Night Football primetime action, and it's going to feature two 0-3 football teams, the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets, two teams that are struggling with their identity early on in this season, going through a variety of struggles offensively and also just some unrest altogether. And I'm joined by John Butchko, host of the Locked On Jets podcast. We're going to break down tonight's Thursday Night Football matchup, talking about some of the storylines leading up to kickoff, obviously in terms of the injury side of things, both teams banged up, but football will be played tonight. John, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing better than the Jets are right now.
There's a lot of unrest on social media. I've seen that too, because I follow the Jets on social media, and I have a lot of Jets fans that follow me, and I follow them, and it, you know, just seems like just some unrest there. And the same could be said in Broncos country. So obviously a primetime matchup. I don't think anybody at this point thought that this Thursday Night Football game would be a battle between two 0-3 teams, but you know, the storyline looking at it, when I look at this New York Jets team, I look at a team that, you know, is decimated at injuries at the wide receiver position. You know, Denzel Mims was a guy that we were talking about in the offseason that I would have loved to have come to Denver. He hasn't really had a chance to get started yet in New York. So on the injury front of things, I know there's a lot, some key players. What is the injury report heading into tonight's matchup so far, especially on the offensive line?
Yeah, so the Jets played last week without their right tackle, George Fant. He was in the concussion protocol. However, he was a limited participant in practice Monday and Tuesday, but he was a full participant on Wednesday. So he's looking like he's good to go. Now, Mekhi Becton left the game last week against the Indianapolis Colts. He's the rookie left tackle, and he's been really good for the Jets. Offensive line's been pretty inconsistent, but Becton has been rock solid. However, he was limited in practice all week. He's questionable for this game. So you do have some questions about whether Becton's going to play. And again, he's been the best Jets offensive lineman this season. Connor McGovern, who you guys obviously know pretty well, off to a slow start for the Jets. He was not expected to play last week, but he did make the start. So I think everybody else should be good to go. They have Greg Van Roten, who they signed. He's the right guard. They got him this offseason from Carolina. And then Alex Lewis is their left guard. He's actually the only returning offensive lineman for the Jets. There's no injury issues with him. So depending on how Becton is, I think this is going to be a healthy Jets offensive line or close to it. Now, as you mentioned, the wide receiver position, a bit of a different story. Denzel Mims is on injured reserve, so he's out of the game. Rashad Perryman is out. He suffered an ankle injury week two against the San Francisco 49ers, and the Jets have already ruled him out. He did not practice all week. Jamison Crowder could be back. He missed the last two games. He had a hamstring injury that he suffered a few weeks back. Last week, the Jets played without any of their starting wide receivers. They may get one back. We'll see. But yeah, those are the two positions where you look, and the Jets have had some injury issues.
When you've had, you know, Braxton Berrios stepping in, Chris Hogan, former New England Patriot, and, you know, obviously things are banged up. And when you look at Sam Darnold so far through three games, you know, he's facing a lot of scrutiny. He's had some struggles, some evident issues on tape. You know, what has been the biggest issue really with Sam Darnold's slow start to the 2020 NFL season? And could he find some confidence here tonight against the Broncos?
You know, it's funny because last week was a 3-interception game. And after that game, I probably would have told you taking care of the football, because week one against the Bills, he threw a really ugly interception where he's rolling left. He throws it across his body to the middle of the field. But I rewatched his tape against the Colts and he just looks so tentative out there. And maybe that has something to do with the receivers because he's not comfortable with them. But I mean, he's kind of afraid to throw assertively. You know, if there's a window open, he's kind of double clutching it. Frequently, you know, he gets on the run. He's kind of afraid to throw on broken plays, which was one of the things that made him a good prospect coming out of USC. So I think, you know, everything that's been put on him, this Jets team has done, and not just this year, but through his first two, three years in the league, the Jets have done a terrible job. So, I mean, this is, if you wanted to write a book on how not to develop a quarterback, you should study what the Jets have done with Sam Darnold, because they've given him mediocre targets at the wide receiver position. The offensive line's been terrible through his first, you know, 2 years and change. This year actually might be the best offensive line he's had, and it's still not a very good line. And I think all of this just compounds and you don't have success because unless Sam Darnold makes a great play, they had a 14 play touchdown drive against the Colts where he made a number of great plays evading pressure, throwing on the run. A lot of the big plays were all him. Unless Sam Darnold does something special, the offense is not going to move. And that just doesn't work when you're talking about a 23-year-old quarterback. So I think just the Jets have put the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I think it's just kind of crushing him right now.
Well, the thing that I want to point out, too, I remember 2018, Sam Darnold's having some struggles, and then the Denver Broncos came to town, and all of a sudden, Sam Darnold's just lighting up the Broncos secondary. It wasn't even close when you have talent like Robbie Anderson as well, who went for over 200 yards receiving in that game. And then you also had the rushing impact. I believe it was Isaiah Crowell at the time. And they were able to have the run game. Obviously, no Le'Veon Bell in this matchup. I want to shift my thoughts here to the defensive side of the ball. Greg Williams, man in the front as well. There's rumors that if the Jets lose, that Adam Gase could be handed his walking papers. That's a lot of talk right now on New York radio. Outside of that, really, what has Greg Williams done this year, considering, you know, you trade away Jamal Adams, Pierre Desir's out there at the cornerback position. You know, he looks pretty solid on the scouting tape that I've looked at of him. But can you tell me a little bit more about this New York Jets defense? What are they good at doing so far early in 2020?
You know, unfortunately, not a lot. And this was a unit that really carried the Jets down the stretch last year. They won six of their last eight games in 2019, and it was on the backs of the defense. But there were some signs it was kind of a mirage. If you looked at the quarterbacks they were facing, lots of backup quarterbacks, lots of rookie quarterbacks. It was a pretty easy schedule. And as you mentioned, they did have Jamal Adams. You look at last year, I mean, of the seven games the Jets won, three or four of those games, Jamal Adams played a big role by making impact plays. There's not really anybody on this defense capable of making impact plays this year. You'd hope it would be Quinnen Williams, who's in his second year. The Jets drafted him third overall in 2019. He had a big game against San Francisco, had a couple sacks against the 49ers, but the other two games he's been kind of invisible. And, you know, this is not a team that can really generate a pass rush. It's not a team that can really cover anybody. So they're just issues. I mean, Pierre Desir, you mentioned him. He was benched week one. The Jets were not that active in free agency this year. To the extent they had a big free agent signing, it was Pierre Desir. He struggled, though. And on the other side, you have Bless Austin, who was a sixth-round pick last year out of Rutgers. Played okay down the stretch. Lots of Jets fans were very high on him. I thought his performance the second half of last year was a little overrated, and part of it was the quality of competition. He struggled this year. There's not a lot of impact. And last week against the Colts, I think, was a perfect example of where this defense is right now. Really, all Greg Williams can do is just sit back and try and avoid the big 50-yard play, play a lot of coverage, and hope somebody steps up and makes a play in the red zone, because this is not a defense that can really force three and outs. They can't generate pressure with a four-man pass rush, and they can't really blitz because they have nobody who can cover one-on-one. So it's a unit with a lot of issues. Now, it's a little bit better against the run. They do have some good defensive linemen who are run stoppers. Their linebacker core got Avery Williamson back within the last 2 weeks. Who's a good run-stopping linebacker. But this team just can't stop anybody through the air.
And that's been an issue for the Broncos so far this season. And obviously, coming up here in just a moment, John's going to ask us a lot of Broncos-related questions as it pertains to tonight's matchup kickoff on Thursday Night Football primetime action. Obviously, if you're a Broncos fan, you got a lot of insight here from John today for this New York Jets football team. Obviously, a battle between two 0-3 teams. Somebody will get their first win of the season, or it could be a 0-3-1. You never know. You never want to go for the tie, though. So obviously looking forward to that matchup as well. But yeah, we're going to hear from John Butchko coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, I got to tell you about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos Crossover Thursday. That is our good friends over there, sportsbetting.com. They are now live and taking action in the Box State of Colorado. Sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports and the authority on sports betting. With their own in-house bookmakers, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and low juice. That means the best prices for you. New players get a welcome bonus, a 100% risk-free week of sports betting up to $500. Thursday Night Football's tonight, the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets gives you a chance to put your money somewhere to test it out. Sportsbetting.com offers no-hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough, so take advantage of their NFL touchdown and NBA playoff MVP promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown and triple-double scores. Get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos.
Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We have Thursday Night Football this week, the Jets and the Broncos, what you might call a traditional Thursday night game between two bad teams right now. I think it's the second time in history the Jets and Broncos have played Thursday night. The first meeting was back in 2011. It was a great memory for Broncos fans and a painful memory for Jets fans, as Tim Tebow had the game-winning touchdown run late in the fourth quarter. This season has been rough enough for Jets fans, but we're going to have to watch that clip over and over again tonight, I'm sure. Cody, at the quarterback position, though, the Broncos making a change, and we'll have Brett Rypien making his first NFL start. What can we expect from him this year?
Well, you know, it's really interesting you say that. Brett Rypien probably coming into this game is in a better position, I think, than most think, because he's been in that locker room. He's been with the, you know, the quarterbacks. He's been in kind of the culture of Vic Fangio for the last two seasons. And just the thing you're going to see from him tonight, and this is just a hope. I mean, last week, if you watched the back end of that Tampa Bay game where Denver just absolutely were outmatched completely by the talent that they had and the physicality of Tampa Bay, you know, they were struggling. They gave up six total sacks on the offensive side of the ball to Tampa Bay. One of the decisions was that Vic Fangio put Brett Rypien into the game because they wanted to see if he can get the ball out of his hands a lot quicker, and he did just that. I mean, he was going through his progressions, going through the reads on the field, and he was making quick, decisive decisions in terms of that, because he would throw against the blitz rather than Jeff Driskel, who would hold on to it way too long, and it was more paralysis by analysis for Jeff Driskel. So Brett Rypien's going to give them a little bit of a boost. They didn't feel like Blake Bortles was up to speed on the playbook. He's only had two practices with this Denver Broncos team, and obviously on a short week, it would be kind of unfair to throw him into that situation. So they're going to go with the young guy out of Boise State, and they do have some hope inside the organization that Rypien can be the long-term backup behind Drew Lock. Now, he's not going to be the guy that's going to be a season guy, but he, you know, they have hope that he can be the Gary Kubiak to John Elway as he was to Drew Lock. So that's what they're really trying to figure out with Brett Rypien. So, you know, you don't have too much tape on Rypien, maybe outside of some preseason action last year. But one thing he is, like I said, he's decisive. He's quick. For me, I want to see if the Broncos are going to help him out a little bit by going with a quick passing approach, because the play action, holding on to the ball, trying to get it downfield has not worked for Denver so far through 3 weeks of the NFL season. And especially when you talk about Quinnen Williams, who could have a bounce back game. The Broncos offensive line on the interior center, Lloyd Cushenberry, has struggled. They're going to be without Elijah Wilkinson, who's had his struggles at the right tackle position. Damar Dotson is going to start there. The Broncos have some communication issues they've got to shore up on the offensive line. So I think in order to help out a young quarterback, you got to be able to get the ball to your hands quickly. So expect him to test maybe even Pierre Desir and some of the young secondary six rounder you were talking about, with guys like Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, and even speedy guy KJ Hamler. And they might look to go downfield a couple of times, but it may be a quick passing game.
Now, I know the Broncos are without Cortland Sutton, and you named a couple of the rookies who are in the lineup. How have the skill players on Denver played so far this year?
You know, it's hard to really say, because the week one game against Tennessee, the Broncos, they found themselves in a back and forth slugfest. The offense didn't get to see much of time of possession in the second half against Tennessee. They only had a 3-play drive in the third quarter. That was it in that first week matchup. But Jerry Jeudy, week one, he had a couple of drops, more focused drops than anything. And then you lose Cortland Sutton, you know, against the Pittsburgh Steelers week two. Jerry Jeudy being one of those guys that's coming in. That's where KJ Hamler made his debut, 3 catches for 43 yards. You know, he's a speedy gadget type player. And then you got Tim Patrick, who's a 6'4" sizable target. And, you know, he matches up really well on third down. He scored a touchdown last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers towards the end of the first half. And I think that for the Broncos in this matchup, they're going to have to rely on some of these young guys. And Vic Fangio even challenged him too, that on Sunday against Tampa Bay, a lot of them didn't run the correct routes to the timing and obviously to the landmarks that they were supposed to. And that also impacted the offensive flow. So you may see, like I said, the more quick passing game, because it allows those guys to maybe step inside against zone coverage or even man coverage, especially if, Greg Williams wants to blitz a little bit. But outside of that, you know, I think that these young guys, there's still a lot to prove, but I think they're going to rely on Tim Patrick. And I think this could be a big game for Jerry Jeudy or even Noah Fant. I mean, those guys have been phenomenal, but the Broncos haven't really been able to get Noah Fant involved too much. He had a 5-catch, 81-yard, 1-touchdown performance against the Tennessee Titans. That all came in the first half. Didn't go to him at all in the second half. And then he got going in the second half, but not the first half against Pittsburgh. So the Broncos are still trying to find a way to utilize him, get him in space. So, I think there's a lot of question marks for this Broncos offense, specifically offensive line, quarterback, and how they can get these young guys involved. But they've been blocking their tail off. They've been working really hard. And so, you know, this could be a game for them where they might find some confidence.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, Broncos are without some big names. Who are some of the key players to watch on this defense?
Well, I would say at inside linebacker, Alexander Johnson's a name to watch. He took over as one of the Broncos captains on the defensive side after the Broncos decided to release Todd Davis, which was a surprise move this offseason, right before the season had started, actually, before roster cuts. Alexander Johnson, he's a dynamic, rangy linebacker, has the ability to cover, and he's a guy that Vic Fangio likes to blitz a lot. When they have the coverage guys on the back end, they're going to be without AJ Boye, and they really haven't gotten a lot of man coverage, press coverage, because of the fact that they lost Boye. So you're going to see some more off coverage by the Broncos cornerbacks. And so you talk about Alexander Johnson. Also in the secondary, keep an eye on Michael Ojemudi, the Broncos' third-round rookie cornerback. He had a great bounce-back game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I imagine he's going to draw, you know, some opportunities to maybe have an interception or something if he can play the ball. That's been one of the things he's shown a theme of so far through three games. The ball comes his way. He does make plays on it. He's just got to be able to finish when that happens. And outside of that, you know, I'd say on the defensive line, the Broncos are banged up. Keep an eye on Shelby Harris, though. Shelby Harris is historically against the New York Jets over the last three or four seasons has had some pretty strong games against them. He had a couple, two sacks last week against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, two passes batted down the line of scrimmage, and constant quarterback pressure. He had four quarterback hits on the evening last week against Tampa Bay. So keep an eye on him on the interior. He's going to be lined up in a three technique on the outside shoulder of the guard. So keep an eye for Vic Fangio maybe to stunt him a little bit and also send some linebacker pressure.
How are the Broncos special teams?
That's a rough one. I'd say out of the offense is young. I mean, I expected the growing pains with this Broncos offense to be where they're at, and not to the extent where they lost Drew Lock, obviously, and their top wide receiving target, Cortland Sutton. But special teams has been very, very abysmal outside of week one. Week one, Sam Martin was punting the football really well. But if you're punting the football, it's not leading to points on the offensive side of the ball. So it's not a great thing to always be punting. In terms of Brandon McManus, he's still reliable as a field goal kicker, booted in a 56-yarder last week against Tampa Bay at home. But outside of that, the Broncos have had some, you know, blunders on the special team side. Their coverage unit, a lot of missed tackles, getting downfield and not breaking down and allowing the returner to get upfield. And also, they've had issues where they haven't been blocking effectively on punt. And so it led to Sam Martin having a punt blocked on the first series against Tampa Bay. It set Tampa Bay up on the 10-yard line for Denver. They scored with ease after that, starting in that field position. And then the week prior against Pittsburgh, Sam Martin dropped a punt and it led to a safety. So for the Broncos, special teams has got to find a way to be consistent, to be able to flip field position. But right now, that's probably the one weakness on this football team is special teams.
Now, I would imagine that if there's one fan base in the NFL that's kind of sympathetic toward Adam Gase, it may be the Broncos fan base, because he did have some success there as their offensive coordinator. I could tell you that there are a lot of Jets fans who are rooting for the Broncos in this game because of some of the reports you referenced earlier when we were talking about the Jets. There are rumors out there, and they've come from ESPN, Chris Mortensen, that Adam Gase may not be the coach of this team next week if the Jets lose this game. In fact, I had a guest on Locked On Jets the other day, and after we finished recording, he literally asked me, "Are you like everybody else? Are you rooting against the Jets so Gase gets fired?" So let me ask you, on the other side, what are the views Broncos fans have of Vic Fangio? Are they as negative as Jets fans toward Gase?
I would say there's a audience right now. There's a percentage that right now in Broncos country, I feel like, has that microphone. And here's the thing, and I try to tell this to Broncos fans all the time. The Broncos coaching has kept them in games. Vic Fangio has been a big reason they've been competitive, because they should have been blown out by the Pittsburgh Steelers after being down 17-3. Vic Fangio's defense, the adjustments he made, helped bring them back there. And also same thing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The defense really buckled down in the second half. Vic Fangio, he's got a great coaching staff in place, but this is a very young football team. So there is, I think, with the expectations that Broncos fans have for the Broncos area, I mean, it's Super Bowl or bust in the eyes of Broncos country every single year. But the reality is, if you look at paper at the Broncos moves over the last couple of years, they've gotten rid of some of the more veteran players. They've gotten younger. They're trying to develop the younger players, and they're trying to find that franchise quarterback. They hope it's going to be Drew Lock, but you can't find out until he's healthy. And so, I say that there's a crowd that wants Vic Fangio fired, but, you know, I keep going back to the point. If you look at where this team is at with Vic Fangio, players love Vic, by the way. But if you fire Vic Fangio in 2020, you're going to set the Broncos back another 3 years, 3 to 4 years of trying to get back to being competitive. So it's like this never ending cycle of, well, the Broncos, they're not performing well. That means they got to fire the coach. Well, you know, that process has not worked. And it's not going to work. It's going to keep setting the Broncos back even further. So it's a little bit of a different situation. And, you know, and I see that with New York too, specifically with Adam Gase. I know there's been a lot of questionable decisions, especially with the way that he handled the whole Jamal Adams thing and the way that whole thing went last year. So I know there is some angst there. And Yeah, it's just the unfortunate nature that the NFL business is not very friendly to coaches. You know, it's all about what have you done for me now? And so that's the mantra.
All right, well, Cody, it was nice chatting with you. This, of course, is the first meeting between the Jets and the Broncos this year. Who knows? Maybe the winner of tonight wins out, finishes 13-3, hosts the loser who wins out, goes 12-4 in the AFC Championship game. Maybe we'll do this again in January.
You never know. There, stranger things have happened in the NFL. I wouldn't discount that now. I wouldn't imagine that's not on the table. I mean, I think at this point, with the way that this year has gone, John, I think anything is on the table. So it was obviously great talking with you here on Crossover Thursday. And Broncos fans, you guys want to catch some more action on the New York Jets, you want some more insight leading up to kickoff, check out the Locked On Jets podcast. John does a great job over there with coverage over there of the New York Jets. And kickoff is tonight, Thursday Night Football, Denver Broncos on the road, New York Jets. There's a lot on the line for both teams who are sitting at 0-3. Well, Broncos country, that'll do it for today's episode, Locked On Broncos pregame show, Crossover Thursday, leading up to kickoff tonight against the New York Jets. Don't forget to tune in to tomorrow for the Locked On Broncos post-game report. Hopefully the Broncos can come out of this with a victory. Being at 1-3, they have a chance to kind of right the ship a little bit, get a little bit of momentum down the stretch before the first half of the season ends for them, before their bye week in week 8. It's a tough schedule coming up for this Broncos team. They need some confidence. They need a victory. Maybe they can get it tonight. But I'll see you guys tomorrow for the post-game report. I'm Cody York, your host as always. We'll see you then.